All glories to their single devotees. All glories to their single devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale. Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Adishata. Maybe devotees can come forward. Come forward.
आगे आ जाओ.
लोग खड़े हुए हैं पीछे. आने की जगह पर जाओ. Those who are in the front, come forward. এদিকে তো জায়গা আছে. আরে ওম নমো ভগবতে
বাসুদেবায়,
ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়,
ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়,
ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেব, নারায়ণং নমস্কৃত্য নরং চৈব নরোত্তমং দেবীং সরস্বতীং ব্যাসং ততো জয়মুদীরয়ে নষ্ট প্রায়েষু অভদ্রেষু নিত্যং ভাগবত সেবায়া ভগবতি উত্তম শ্লোকে ভক্তির ভবতি নৈষ্টিকি. শ্রীমদ্ ভাগবতম সেকেন্ড ক্যান্টো নাইন্থ চ্যাপ্টার. This chapter is entitled as Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, Text 4. Atma Tattva Vishuddhi Artham Yad Aha Bhagavan Ritam ब्रह्मणे दर्शयन् रूपं अव्यालिका व्रताद्रितः. आत्मतत्व विशुद्धर्थं जदाह भगवान् ऋतम् ब्रह्मनो ब्रह्मणे दर्शयन् रूपम् अव्यालिका व्रताद्रितः. आत्मतत्त्वय विशुद्धर्थम् जदाह भगवान् ऋतम् ब्रह्मणे दर्शयन् रूपम् अव्यालिका व्रताद्रितः. आत्मतत्त्वय विशुद्धर्थम् जदाह भगवान् ऋतम् ब्रह्मणे दर्शयन् रूपम् अव्यालिका व्रताद्रितः.
Atma tattva visuddhi artham. तत्व विशुद्ध्यर्थम्
यदा
भगवान् कृतम्
Vishuddhi, purification, artham, goal, yat, that which, aha, said, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, ritam, in reality, Brahmane, unto Lord Brahma, darshayan, by showing, rupam, eternal form, abhyalika, without any deceptive motive, brata, vow, adritaha, worshipped. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O King, the personality of Godhead, being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of His non-deceptive penance in Bhakti Yoga, presented His eternal and transcendental form before Brahma, and that is the objective goal of purifying the conditioned soul. Please repeat after me.
O King,
the personality of Godhead,
being very much pleased with Lord Brahma,
because of His non-deceptive penance
in Bhakti Yoga,
presented His eternal and transcendental form
before Brahma.
And that is the objective goal
for purifying the conditioned soul.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Atma Tattva is the science of both God and the living entity. Both the Supreme Lord and the living entity are known as Atma. The Supreme Lord is called Paramatma, and the living entity is called the Atma, the Brahma or the Jiva. Both the Paramatma and Jivatma, being transcendental to the material energy, are called Atma. So, Shukadev Goswami explains this verse with the aim of purifying the truth of both the Paramatma and the Jivatma. Generally, people have many wrong conceptions about both of them. The wrong conception of the Jivatma is to identify the material body with the pure soul, and the wrong conception of Paramatma is to think him on an equal level with the living entity. But both misconceptions can be removed by one stroke of Bhakti Yoga, just as in the sunlight,
Both the sun and the world and everything within the sunlight are properly seen. In the darkness, one cannot see the sun, nor himself, nor the world. But in the sunlight, one can see the sun, himself, and the world around him. Srila Sukadev Goswami therefore says that for purifying of both wrong conceptions, the Lord presented his eternal form before Brahmaji, being fully satisfied by Brahma's non-deceptive vow of discharging bhakti yoga. Except for bhakti yoga, any method for realization of atma tattva or the science of the atma will prove deceptive in the long run. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that only by bhakti yoga can one know him perfectly, and then one can enter into the science of God. Brahmaji undertook great penance in performing bhakti yoga, and thus he was able to see the transcendental form of the Lord. His transcendental form is 100% spiritual, and one can see him only by spiritualized vision after proper discharge of tapasya or penance in pure bhakti yoga. The form of the Lord manifested before Brahma is not one of the forms with which we have experience in the material world. The form of the Lord manifested before Brahma is not one of the forms with which we have experience in the material world. Brahmaji did not perform such severe types of penance just to see a form of material production. Therefore, the question by Maharaj Parikshit about the form of the Lord is answered. The form of the Lord is Satchidananda, or eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But the material form of the living being is neither eternal, nor full of knowledge, nor blissful. That is the distinction between the form of the Lord and that form of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, however, can regain his form of eternal knowledge and bliss simply by seeing the Lord by means of bhakti yoga. The summary is that due to ignorance, the conditioned soul is encaged in the temporary varieties of material forms. But the Supreme Lord has no such temporary form like the conditioned souls. He is always possessed of an eternal form of knowledge and bliss, and that is the difference between the Lord and the living entity. I told you to put an inverter here. Why didn't you do that? Put an inverter here. Every day the current goes off. Why can't you put an inverter? He is always possessed of an eternal form of knowledge and bliss, and that is the difference between the Lord and the living entity. One can understand this difference by the process of bhakti yoga. Brahma was told by the Lord the gist of Srimad Bhagavatam in 4 original verses. Thus, Srimad Bhagavatam is not a creation of the material speculators. The sound of Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental, and the resonance of Srimad Bhagavatam is as good as that of the Vedas. Thus, the topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of both the Lord and the living entity. Regular reading or hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is also performance of bhakti yoga, and one can attain the highest perfection simply by the association of the Supreme Bhagavatam, by the association of Srimad Bhagavatam. Both Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit attained perfection through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is an inverter? So it has been there? Or is generated? Inverter should come straight away. Anyway, whatever it is. The light is there, that's what is needed. If we don't have an inverter, then get an inverter here. How much does it cost? Atmatattva Vishuddhartham Jadaha Bhagavan Ritam Brahmane Darshayan Rupam Abhyalika Bratadritaha. O King, the personality of Godhead being very much pleased with Lord Brahma because of his non-deceptive penance in Bhakti Yoga, presented his eternal and transcendental form before Brahma. And thus, and that is the objective goal of purifying the conditioned soul. So, Parikshit Maharaj asked some questions, some very, very important questions. Parikshit Maharaj had been informed that he had only 7 days left. So, although he was the king of the entire earth planet, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? Parikshit Maharaj just decided to prepare himself for leaving his body. He thought that now I have only 7 days left, so at a time like that, what does an intelligent person do? What Parikshit Maharaj had done. He decided to leave his body. And that's the difference between an intelligent person and a non-intelligent person. If a non-intelligent person finds out that he has only a few days left, what he'll do? He'll think how to secure his property, write his will, and make sure that his property is not encumbered by the government. He even thinks how to avoid giving estate duty and death tax. That's a non-intelligent person's business. But an intelligent person, what does an intelligent person do at a time like that? He thinks, I have only 7 days and then everything will be finished. I won't be here. So why should I waste my time in the affairs that I won't have any business to do with? So rather let me prepare for the world that I have to go after death. Do we live after death? Do we exist after death? Or at death everything becomes finished? Do we live? Do we continue to exist after death? Yes? Yes. Very good. Then comes another question. Are you going to die? Do you think you are going to die? How many of you think that you are not going to die? You are not going to die. Okay. But how many of you think that death will come sometime or other? How many of you think that you have to face death? Yes, someday we have to die. We may think that we are not going to die, but someday we all have to die. Why we think that we are not going to die, that's another thing. But the reality is, whether we don't want to die, we have to die. Because this body is temporary. Our existence in the material nature is temporary. So, when we know that we are going to die, then what should you do? What should you do? Someday we are going to die. Okay, let's put it this way. If you know that someday you have to leave Ujjain, what are you going to do? You have to leave Ujjain and go to Bombay. What will you do? If you have a job, if you get a job, so you got a job in Bombay. So, in 1 month's time, you have to go to Bombay. So what will you do? You have 1 month's time. Or you think, okay, as long as I'm here in Ujjain, let me enjoy. When I go to Bombay, then I'll see. Is it an intelligent proposal? Is it an intelligent way to think? What will an intelligent man do? Oh, I have 1 month's time, so let me look for a house in Bombay. And then let me see if I get a good servant in Bombay. Because the servant in Ujjain, I won't be decided not to go to Bombay. So, and also, I can't take a servant from Bombay because in Bombay, I am going to live in a small apartment. The houses are very expensive in Bombay, so where will the servant stay? Better to have a servant locally, and things like that. We make arrangements before we go. Then in Bombay, I need so many things. So, an intelligent thing to do is to prepare before you go to Bombay. So similarly, when we know that someday we have to leave this world and go somewhere else, then what should we do? Shouldn't we find out where we have to go? And when we go there, that we have some arrangements made there? So that is an intelligent approach. So Parikshit Maharaj was an intelligent person. So what did he do? He said, okay, quit my kingdom. He immediately left his kingdom. Left everything. His wife, his children, they must have been sad, they must have been crying, oh, the king, our husband, our father is going to leave. So they must have been very sad. But Parikshit Maharaj didn't even look back. He left. It's not that he went to the bank of the Ganges, bank of Jamuna, with his whole family and servants and entourage and soldiers and generals and ministers. No. He left everything. And he decided to sit on the bank of the Ganges and prepare himself for the time so that he can live without attachments. That is the preparation. No attachment. At the time of death, we should be very, very careful that we do not have any attachment. Because if we have an attachment, if we have any attachment, we'll have to come. Whether the attachment is to the wife or children or husband or whoever, or dog, or money. Like nowadays I'm seeing, and Sitaram also wrote a very nice observation of Ujjain. In Ujjain everybody is keeping a dog. Money. In Ujjain, everybody is keeping a dog. That has become the status symbol. I have a dog. I have become a sahib now. The sahibs have dog, and I have a dog, therefore I have become a sahib. It's a status symbol. Rich men have dog. I have become a rich man, so I have to have a dog. And that dog should not be an Indian dog. It has to be a foreign dog. Nobody keeps an Indian dog. And the more foreign it is, it's better. I have an Alsatian. I have a Doberman. And so forth. Okay, become attached to dog, then what will happen? If you are attached to a dog, then at the time of death, if you think of your dog, you'll get the body of a dog. Be careful about that possibility. Now, why we are saying that? Because it is in Bhagavatam. This has been explained in Bhagavad Gita. Jang jang vyapi smaran bhavam tajattante kalivaram. As one thinks, at the time of leaving his body. Jang jang vyapi smaran bhavam. With whatever thought one leaves his body, tajattante kalevaram. As he leaves his body, accordingly he will get his next body. The proof is, Bharat Maharaj. He thought of a deer at the time of his death. Bharat Maharaj, also another personality who left everything. He was also a king of the entire earth planet. But he left this world, he left his kingdom, left everything and went to the forest. On the bank of the river Saraswati, he was meditating, he was practicing spiritual life. And he reached a very advanced stage of spiritual perfection. But he became attached to a deer. And he became so attached to the deer that he kept on thinking about the deer all the time. And then, at the time of death, what did he think? He thought of the deer. And as a result of that, he got a deer body. Anyway, at least being attached to dog, one gets a dog body. If you become very attached to your house, what may happen?
No?
Yes. You are so attached to your house and you leave your body thinking about the house, then what will happen? You'll come back to the house, but not as the same person. There are various possibilities. One possibility is that you may remain in the house as a ghost. Not get any body at all. A ghost. As a ghost you are just staying in the house. And if somebody comes, you say, why did you come here? Don't you know this is my house? It happens. Just reminds me, once in Calcutta, my driver stayed in some of my acquaintance's house. I think he drove them to their house, and then they said it was already so late, they allowed him to stay, they let him stay in the house. The next morning he told me that he was attacked by a ghost. The whole night he was being attacked. And then he found out the man of the house had died all of a sudden of a heart attack. And so I could understand what actually I knew that he died of a heart attack. And then I could put two and two together and find out the why
He was being attacked through the night.
Although his other family members did not have any clue of it. They didn't see him, see the ghost. Why they didn't? Because he was happy that they are living in that house. But the moment he saw an outsider came and living in the house, so he became very upset. Why did you come and stay here? Why did you come to stay here? Get out of here. So in this way, okay, now ghost is a possibility. That's the worst possibility. The other possibility, as Radharani say, the rat. Somebody else say the cockroach. Yes. Will it be nice to get a body like that? Due to some unnecessary attachments. Therefore, we should get rid of all our attachments when we are on this planet. When we are alive, we should try to get rid of all our attachments. Because someday we have to leave. So why unnecessarily become attached? And what's the best way to become detached? What's the best way to become detached? By recognizing who everything belongs to and offering it to Him. If I know that everything belongs to Krishna, then it becomes easy. We just offer everything to Krishna. Give everything to Krishna. Your family, your house, even if you have a dog. That is fine, that's fine. Dog is also Krishna's. He's a living entity. A living entity. What to do? Sometimes people ask, what should I do with my dog? I say, give him Krishna prasad and try to make him a devotee also. We don't say that, throw the dog in the river. No, our understanding is that we accept everybody. Like Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen, Mahaprabhu's associate, used to take the devotees from Bengal to Jagannath Puri every year. And so one day when they were going, walking, traveling, on foot, they were traveling on foot. And one dog also started to follow them. So Shivananda Sen thought that, well, he's also a member in the party. So he took care of the dog, he used to give him prasad. And one day Shivananda Sen was late in coming, everybody left. He was settling the payments with the toll collector, tax collector on the border. And so he became late in coming. So when he came back, he sat down to take prasad. So Shivananda Sen asked whether the dog got prasad. And he found out that they forgot to give him prasad. So he got very upset. He just went to look for the dog. And he couldn't find the dog. The dog was upset that they didn't give him prasad. And so Shivananda Sen was so upset that he didn't take prasad that night. So this is the Vaishnava compassion. Vaishnava is compassionate to every living entity. He doesn't go out of his way to show his compassion to some creatures. And he does not develop unnecessary attachments. But that doesn't mean that Vaishnava is heartless. Vaishnava is extremely compassionate. And then when they arrived in Jagannath Puri, they found that the dog was sitting in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is also the mercy of a devotee, the power of devotee association. The dog must have heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from those devotees and heard who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, and the dog also developed his attachment, and the dog found out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri. And when they didn't give him food, the dog said, "Okay, why should I waste my time with you all? I'll just go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So the dog went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving him some coconut pulp, nariyal. And the dog was taking the nariyal, and he was also chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." The dog was, in this way, the dog became a pure devotee. And then the dog left his body and went back to Vaikuntha. So Vaishnav is prepared, Vaishnav is ready to offer his mercy upon everyone, every living entity. Whoever wants to receive the mercy, the Vaishnav is going to give him the mercy. So one should be very, very careful how one develops his attachments. There is a difference between compassion and attachment. Compassion is giving something that one needs. When we give it to him, that is compassion. So Vaishnava is compassionate, and attachment is feeling a deep tie to some other living entity, deep bond. Compassion can be without attachment. Compassion can be both with attachment and without attachment, but it is preferable to show our compassion without attachment. But attachment is just a bond, a tie, physical bond, which is a material, a pure material phenomenon. Oh, he is my son, so I am attached to him. Oh, she is my wife, therefore I am attached to her. This is my mother, I am attached to her. This is my father, this is my grandchildren. So many attachments because they are such and such to me or my body. But actually all these relationships are temporary. One day we have to say goodbye to everything. No matter how fond we are of our children, we have to leave them someday. No matter how attached one is to his wife or she is to her husband, someday they have to separate. So we have to be very, very careful that we do not develop relationships or remain attached to the relationships simply based on our physical identity. In relation to body, the relationships that are related to the body, those relationships are temporary. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be attached. Yes, attachment is a natural tendency. But that attachment should be done in the right place, with the right person. Our attachment shouldn't be based on the body, bodily relationship. Rather, our attachment should be based on our spiritual identity. If we develop spiritual attachments, that's very good. If we develop our attachments to Krishna, that's very good. Ultimately, that is the main attachment. And that is what That is what Parikshit Maharaj was told by Sukadev Goswami in this verse. Sukadev Goswami is pointing out that his eternal and transcendental form before Brahma. Sukadev Goswami told the Supreme Personality of Godhead's eternal and transcendental form to Brahma. And that is the objective goal of purifying the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul means? Conditioned soul means impure soul. Conditioned soul means a soul who forgot his spiritual identity and is identifying himself with his body. That a person who forgot about his spiritual identity and identifying himself with matter, he is a conditioned soul. In the material nature, we all have become conditioned. Our situation is that we are identifying ourselves with the body. No matter how much we understand theoretically, but the reality is that we are identifying ourselves with the body. Although theoretically we know that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. But there is a big difference between theory and realization. Theoretical understanding and realization. Now, how can we realize? How can we have this realized knowledge? We can receive the realized knowledge by proper practice. By proper practice. And that practice is called sadhana bhakti. And what is sadhana bhakti? Sadhana bhakti is a science of atma tattva. And Prabhupada is explaining this meaning of the word atma tattva. Atma tattva vishuddhartham. Vishuddha means purification. And artham means goal. For the sake of purifying oneself and receive atma tattva, or when one becomes purified, then he can see the atma tattva, understand atma tattva. And what is atma tattva? Tattva means, what is the meaning of the word tattva? Tattva actually means science. And atma means the soul. The science of the soul. Or it can also be, as Prabhupada used the expression sometimes, the science of self-realization. But the direct meaning is the science of the soul. And there are two types of souls. We are jivatmas. Atma means the soul. We are jivatma. Tiny souls, minute souls. And there is the supreme atma, param atma. And God is param atma. Krishna is param atma, and we are jiva atma. Atma tattva is the science of, Prabhupada is saying in the purport, atma tattva is the science of both God and the living entity. Both the Supreme Lord and the living entity are known as atma. Both are atma. But the Supreme Lord is called paramatma and the living entity is called atma, or Brahma, or the Jiva. Supreme Atma, Param Atma. Atma also, soul is also identified as Brahma. So jivas are Brahma, but Supreme Lord is Param Brahma. Just as water, an ocean is water and a drop is water. Both are water. But isn't there a difference between an ocean and a drop? Similarly, there is a difference between Jivatma and Paramatma. So we all are parts and parcels of the Paramatma. So what we should do? We should try to understand that Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we find out, when we develop our relation, when we recognize who He is, then what happens? Then we recognize our relationship with Him. Kevin, you're chanting now?
Yes, ma'am.
Why? No time to chant your rounds? So can you do two things at a time? What are you hearing? The holy name, or you're hearing the class? What are you hearing? Both. Oh, you must be using one ear for hearing the class and the other ear for hearing the name. Don't do that. When you're chanting, just chant. When you're hearing the class, we hear the class. Nobody can do both. You have one mind, and your one mind can understand only one thing, register only one thing, not both. So, the Jivatma and Paramatma has been in this way, has been described that they are qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. Qualitatively, according to quality, water and ocean both are water, same quality. But quantitatively, there is a difference between ocean and the water, drop of water. Similarly, there is a difference between the sun and a ray of sun. A ray of sun, although it is sun, it is a part of sun, but although the ray of sun is light, and the sun is also light. But is there a difference between a ray of the sun and the sun? Yes. So similarly, there is a difference between Jivatma and Paramatma. And in the purport, Prabhupada is giving the analogy, another very nice analogy in relation to the sun. Like if we are in the dark room, then what do we see? Can we see ourselves? In a completely dark room, there is no light. Can you see anything in that light, in that darkness? No. In the darkness, you can't see anything. But when the sun comes up, then what happens? Yes, then the light comes in, and in that light you can see yourself, then you can see the sun, and you can see everything that is in the sun, everything that is there around you. So now this sun and a living material conditioned soul have another beautiful analogy. The sun may be there, but if your back is towards the sun, then what happens? If your back is towards the sun, then do you see the sun? You don't see the sun. What do you see? You see your shadow. If your back is towards the sun, then do you see the sun? You don't see the sun. What do you see? You see your shadow. And if you think that that shadow is you, that is Maya. Maya has been identified in that way. Rite Arthang, that is one of the, that has been described in one of the verses of Chatushloki. Brahma was given the four verses by Krishna, which is the root of the Ved, of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And one verse is describing Rite Artha Jat Pratiyeta Na Pratiyeta Chatmani Tad Atmano Mayam Jathabhasho Jathatam. That when the knowledge is lacking, the spiritual knowledge is not there, then our understanding becomes imperfect. And that is compared to abhasho. Abhasho means a reflection. And tamo means darkness. We are only seeing the reflection and we are seeing the darkness. We are not seeing the light. But that darkness is created by the light. My shadow has been created by the light. Because the light is there, the shadow is there. So Maya in this way is a product of also an energy of Krishna. Another example of Maya has been given as a cloud. Prabhupada often used to give this example, and when we fly, then we can see how wonderful that example is. Like there may be cloud, there may be darkness during the day. What causes the darkness? Everything is dark and during the day. What is causing the darkness?
Cloud.
Sometimes, especially in London, you feel it. Everything is dark and dreary. Right? Especially in winter. And then you take off. You in a plane. And you go beyond the cloud. Then what do you see? You see the sun is there. Bright sunshine. So similarly, Maya is caused by this cloud. The absence of the light is caused by the cloud, the shadow of the cloud that is causing the darkness. So when you go out of that, go beyond that cloud, then Krishna is there. I mean, then the sun is there. Who is compared to Krishna? So in this way, we can see how wonderful this Atma Tattva is. The scientific knowledge about Krishna consciousness. The scientific knowledge about the soul. The spirit soul and the super soul. Jivatma and Paramatma. And when we get this knowledge, how do we get the knowledge? How does one get a knowledge? If somebody wants to be a doctor, how does he become a doctor? By getting proper knowledge. Knowledge about the body and activities of the body, the effect of different viruses on the body and so forth. Right? So it's a science. Now can somebody become a doctor just by sitting at home? And watching TV? No. He'll have to go to a medical school, medical college. So he goes to the medical college and he studies. Now, is it easy to study? How many of you are studying now? I believe some students are here today. Okay. Is it easy to study? It's tough, right? You have to put your time, you have to memorize, you have to prepare, you have to Isn't it difficult? So you have to struggle. So this struggle is called tapasya. Now in your medical, whatever you are studying in your college or in the university, you are struggling. You are making tapasya. And at the end of the tapasya, what will you get? You'll get your degree, right? And then when you get the degree, you'll get your reward, right? So this tapasya, that austerity that you perform, is called sadhana. The study that you are undertaking is sadhana. And then when you complete the studies and become qualified, that is called siddhi. So spiritual science, which is known as Atma Tattva or Atma Vigyan, Adhatma Gyan, Adhatma Vigyan, that also requires a lot of austerities. If you just sleep, then you will not be able to achieve perfection. You have to endeavor hard. And what is that endeavor? That endeavor is to understand Krishna. So you have to study, you have to practice different. Like, you not only study, then you have your practical, not only theoretical. You also have your practical aspect of the study. Similarly, to study this science also, you have to have the theoretical knowledge and you have to also have practical practice, practical also, practical knowledge. And by this way, by practicing the process, you achieve perfection, and that at that time you perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. And you also see yourself in that light, your relationship with Him. And you see everybody in that light. Just as when the sun comes up, do you only see the sun? When the sun comes up, do you see the sun only? No, in the light of the sun, you see the sun, you see yourself, and you see everybody else. So similarly, when you become adept in this science, then in that light, you can see Krishna, you can see yourself, and you can see everybody else around you in their real identity. And now you know how easy or how difficult this science is, this practice is. It's as simple as I told you about the shadow and the sun. Your back is towards the sun. Right? So what are you seeing? You're seeing your shadow. Who is that shadow? The shadow is your body, material body. There are two types of material bodies, gross body and the subtle body. So you are only seeing your gross and subtle body. But then somebody comes and tells you, look, that is your shadow, that's not you. But if you are engrossed completely on the shadow, then what will you say? No, that's me. Look how it's moving. Look, it's holding its hand up. It's putting its foot down. That's me. How can you say that's not me? But then he explains further that how it's a shadow. Then when we listen to him, then he explains further what caused that shadow. And then we get to know the shadow has been caused due to the absence of light. And then he explains that light is Krishna. That light is the source of all the light, the sun. And he tells me, he tells us, look, turn your face away from this and towards Krishna. So we try, but it's so hard. Because for so many lifetimes, we have been thinking that shadow to be ourselves, that our focus is completely on the shadow, and I find it difficult to turn away from the shadow. And the shadow is not just shadow like that. In the material world, the shadow that we are dealing with is a whole lot of things. Not only my shadow, my father's shadow, my mother's shadow, my friend's shadow, my so many shadows that are linked with that. But that friend actually helps us. He pushes us. No, turn away, turn away, turn away. Away from that. And then we finally succeed in turn around, and then we see the sun. Then where is the shadow? Then you don't see the shadow, then you see the sun. And then you say, oh, this is me. Actually, that's not me. This is me. And then you see also others. Oh, that's you. That's you. It's not your shadow that I was dealing with all this while. So that is how we become Krishna conscious and get rid of Maya. So it's a science. And if we practice the science, if we apply the science properly, then it will have its result. And this point has been very wonderfully described through just one couplet. Krishna Surya Samo Maya Hai Andhokar Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Mayar Adhikar. Krishna is like the sun and Maya is darkness. Where Krishna is there is no room for Maya. When the sun comes up, is there any room for Maya? No. And what is causing the Maya? What is the cause of darkness? Krishna is always there. The sun is always there. The Maya is our inability to see the sun. The sun is always present. But what is causing the absence of the sun? Our turning our face away from the sun. That's what is causing the darkness. So turn towards Krishna. Maya will disappear and everything will become enlightening. Everything will become light. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question?
Consciousness, we can see ourselves. There are certain traditions in the world like Christianity where they have conception about God, but they don't have more information about who He is and how He looks like, etc. So those who just, even in an impersonal manner, accept there is something superior and try to like the Muslims, etc. If somebody follows that, still will he be able to derive the same result of getting away from Maya, seeing oneself?
Well, like having some information is better than no information. But that is not everything. That actually runs the risk of, due to lack of information, due to improper information, they misconstrue certain ideas that may be very dangerous. Therefore, it is all right as long as they're open. Like one may be in the primary school. The teaching in the primary school is not the ultimate teaching. From primary school, they have to go to high school and college and university. So if they're open to that, oh, I'm in a primary school, now next I'll go to high school, then so forth, then it's all right, then it's positive. But if the primary school children think that this is the ultimate education, there's nothing beyond this, and everybody has to accept it, then what will happen? It'll simply create disturbance. Disturbance caused by stupidity. Disturbance caused by ignorance. And that is what is unfortunate aspect of most of these so-called religions today. They are thinking that our understanding is the ultimate. And if that religion says that, don't listen to anybody, then what will happen? And especially when they have access to guns and machine guns and nuclear weapons, they'll say, you accept our primary school education, otherwise I'll kill you. That is the unfortunate state of affairs today. Yes, Sitaram.
I was intrigued by the fact that in this verse, Srivada Goswami chooses to use the words non-deceptive bhakti, whereas normally with bhakti is spoken of in Bhagavatam, it's spoken of as pure devotional service, pure devotees, but here it's non-deceptive. Is there some particular reason for this?
Yeah, anything other than pure devotion, anything, any endeavor for serving the Lord or approaching the Lord without understanding this Atma Tattva is deceptive. Like if one considers that his body is the ultimate, like Prabhupada is pointing out, what is the non-deceptive concept? The non-deceptive concept of misconception of Jivatma and Paramatma, both. The misconception, the height of misconception of Jivatma is to think that Jivatma, Atma is the body. And the height of misconception of Paramatma is that he is one like me or I am like him. He is an ordinary person. So these are the misconceptions and which leads to deception. Deception means cheating. Like at the Bhagavatam, at the very beginning, it has been pointed out that dharma prajjita koitava dharma, deceptive religion. And what is a deceptive religion? The deceptive or cheating religion is any religion that doesn't lead to Krishna consciousness. Any religion that doesn't lead to Atma Tattva is deceptive. The religion that is saying that enjoying the material nature, that is the goal of life. You render devotion to God or demigods, whoever, to get some material benefit. That is deceptive religion. Even it goes not only, there are two regions of that. One is bhukti, enjoyment in the material nature, and mukti, freedom from material nature. Both are actually deceptive religions. Both bhukti and mukti, both are deceptive. Another thing also comes in between, siddhi. Practicing yoga to get some mystic power. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi. But principally, bhukti and mukti. Enjoyment, siddhi is also a part of bhukti actually. Enjoying the material nature.
and freedom from the material bondage. But beyond that is bhakti, devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to give that bhakti, which is devoid of any tinge of material enjoyment and desire for liberation. That has been again described as jnana karmad anabritam. Pure devotion has been described as annabhilashita sunnam jnana karmad anabritam. Annabhilashita sunnam, free from all any other desire besides serving Krishna, just for the sake of serving Krishna. Besides pleasing Krishna, there shouldn't be any other objective in whatever we are doing. And in this way it becomes free from jnana and karma. Jnana leads to liberation and karma leads to material enjoyment. So free from any desire of material enjoyment and liberation. Not even a tinge of it. That is pure devotion.
That seems in terms of Krishna Acharya's previous question. Most of what we call religion today is actually irreligion.
Irreligion. Said, right. That is cheating religion, right.
Religion, and religion will become irreligion.
Right. Yeah, right. And especially when it is aimed at rejecting the real religion. Yes.
Maharaj, I am a part and parcel of Krishna. Then why are my activities and emotions and thoughts not similar?
Yeah, because you have become isolated from Krishna. You are a part and parcel of Krishna, but are you acting as a part and parcel of Krishna? Are you acting? I am asking you. Are you acting as a part and parcel of Krishna, or you are acting independently? Are you acting according to Krishna's instruction, or you are acting according to your own reasoning?
Sometimes by instruction of Krishna.
Sometimes. Okay, good. Very good. Very good. So that means you are actually on the right track. When you are acting according to Krishna's instruction, then you are a part and parcel of Krishna. When you are not acting according to Krishna's instruction, then you are separated from Krishna. Then you are not part and parcel of Krishna. But because you are already practicing to act as a part and parcel of Krishna according to Krishna's instruction, then gradually you will become purified. So you are getting purified because you are acting according to Krishna's instructions. Very good. Any other question? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande.